All right, this is Matthew Glanfield again from the BVO Traffic Series, and this is our introductory call. We are going to be covering two main things today. One is an introduction to the BVO Traffic Series. I'm going to talk about the 9 traffic methods that we will be covering and give you a bit more information on those. I'm not going to teach you so much about the traffic methods today because what I want to focus on today is something that's even more fundamental than traffic generation, something that you must absolutely do if you're even thinking about spending any of your money or time on any traffic techniques whatsoever, and that is testing and tracking your results of your traffic generation techniques. So I will talk a bit about the 9 traffic methods today, just to give you an overview, but don't expect to walk away with knowing exactly what to do with any of those yet, because we will cover those in the future calls, because we are going to do 9 unique calls, 1 for each traffic method, and 9 follow-up Q&A calls, 1 for each traffic method, so that you can get as much information on those calls. They'll probably all be 2-hour calls, and then we'll probably have 2-hour Q&A sessions to make sure we cover all of your questions. And we're going to just pack as much information here so you can get all the value and more for what you paid for in this course. And so we're going to talk about the 9 traffic methods. I'm going to give you a little background as well. Before you start generating traffic, there's a few really, really important things that you should know. Maybe even for some of you who have already generated traffic, you need to really pay attention to these things as well. So it's important that you really listen to those points, because it's from about 3 years of experience of things that I've noticed, mistakes that I've made of doing traffic generation that I want you to be able to avoid for the most part. And then, of course, we're going to jump right into testing and tracking, which hopefully will be very soon. I don't want to dwell too much on the introductory stuff. I just want to get right into teaching so that you have things that you can walk away from now. In fact, after today's call, you will have things to do to prepare for Monday's call so that you will be able to have these traffic methods in place. So let's get started. First off, let's talk about the 9 traffic methods that we will be covering in this course. So let's take a look here. I'm just pulling them up right in front of me. So I'll go through the list and just clarify what each of them mean, just so that you understand it. There's a few of them that you probably already know of, and then there's the 4 extra ones that I wasn't going to tell people that I was going to be covering. One of them you've probably heard of, or one of them you're familiar with, and then the other 3 you may have heard of, but you probably haven't really done. And some of them you may not even have thought of before, but they're things that I've been doing that I've seen a lot of success from and seen other people do as well. So let's talk about the methods that are common first. The first one on the top of the list, and probably the most important for most markets, not for all markets, is JV partners or joint venture partners. That's number 1. The reason that one's important is because there's all sorts of other people out there in your niche, whatever that might be, who have already spent a lot of their time generating traffic and building their lists. And that means that you can go and leverage all of that time, money, and energy that they spent building their lists, and you can just leverage that and drive traffic to your website. Now, what we're going to be covering, I know JV partners is something that you've probably heard a lot of before, but there's one significant flaw in most teachings about JV partners, and that is beginners. You know, it's easy for me to say, yeah, you need to use JV partners. You need to go out and do deals with them and get them to send emails for your product and you promote their product. Sure, I have over 20,000 people on my list, so it's easier for me to go out and get people to agree to that. But what if you're just starting out and you have nobody on your list? What if you're just starting out with that? What can you do? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, there's another business that I have recently started. It's an internet business as well, but it has nothing to do with teaching internet marketing. In fact, it's more to do with e-commerce, but it's completely outside the internet marketing niche. It's nothing to do with at all with what I'm doing right now, and I'm learning a lot of new things. And so I'm having experience right now as a beginner, somebody with a zero. Actually, I have 4 people on my list. 3 of those people I know, and 1 person I don't. So I do have a 4-person list, and I'm only getting a few hundred visitors per day to that website because I just started it literally about 2 or 3 weeks ago. But hey, within 2 or 3 weeks, we now get 300 visitors to our website every single day. And so I was thinking, okay, these JV partner techniques are going to work a little different in that niche. And already I have secured some JV partners who, one of them gets over 5,000 hits to his website every single day. And he's already sending me traffic. In fact, he's sending me a large portion of that traffic, that 200 to 300 visitors per day. And that's just from one single partner. And I have another one that I've been working with as well. So even though I'm a beginner in their eyes, I have a very small list, there was things that I could do to get them to help me out. And I'm going to talk about how to do that, how to leverage whatever it is that you can leverage to get people to help you out, even though you don't have a list or you have a very small list, and really be able to build with powerful JV partners. And that'll be on Monday. The next traffic method is eBay. eBay is often overlooked because it's looked at as more a place to go and sell your junk from your home. But eBay is a powerhouse of traffic because it gets, these numbers aren't for sure, but I do know that they get a lot of visitors and a lot of searches. Reportedly, I've heard, or allegedly I've heard, that they get as many searches per day as Google. Now, whether that's true or not, I can't confirm completely. But even if they got half as many searches per day, Google gets hundreds of millions of searches a day. And if eBay just got a portion of that, you have to remember, when people are on eBay searching, they're most likely looking to buy. They're not just looking for information. Now, some of them are. And some of them are sellers doing competitive analysis. And some of them are just browsing or doing window shopping. Of course, that's the fact. But there's a larger portion of people, when they're searching on eBay, who are looking to purchase. So if you can tap into that mindset of offering something when people are already on the verge of purchasing something, obviously you should be able to get higher conversion rates and you should be able to get higher success with that. So we're going to talk about how you can use eBay. And I'm not talking about selling your junk from home, although you can go ahead and do that too if you want, but I'm talking as a traffic source. We will be covering that in that one of the calls as well. Another one of the typical traffic methods, and number three on our list, is Google AdWords. AdWords, of course, is the backbone for many people's traffic strategies, because it is something that can get you quick traffic, and it's very predictable, and it's very mathematical. So you're able to work with that and try to tweak it. And we're going to talk about how you can make that work for yourself and some of my clients who have made that really work for their marketing as well. Search engine optimization is number four on my list here. This isn't necessarily the order that we're going to cover them in the course, just the order that I have them on this list. Search engine optimization is, of course, the art of optimizing your search engine, both internally and externally, meaning getting links to your website so that your site ranks high in the search engines for whatever keywords you so choose, or at least really try to rank for. And that gets you some nice free traffic, free in the sense that the search engines don't charge you. Of course, it's going to cost you time and maybe even money to get those high rankings, but they're very well worth it because they can bring you long-term traffic for a very, very long time. And you can get results from search engine optimization rather quickly. I started this website within a week with getting traffic from Google. We're not talking about huge amounts. We're talking about, at first, just a few visitors a day, but now that's increased. But already, within just a week, or a few weeks, getting significant traffic from Google on our website. So that right there is something that you can do to get short-term traffic, although not a huge amount of short-term traffic, it's more for the long-term as well. So you're going to notice that combining a lot of these techniques is what's going to get you the most success. Traffic method number five that I mentioned as well before was video marketing. Video marketing is extremely important if you want to really tap into all the power of what Web 2.0 has to offer you. And videos are great for that, but they need to be done properly. It's not as simple as creating a marketing video and throwing it up on YouTube. When people go on YouTube, they're not looking marketing videos. They're looking for entertainment. So we need to talk about how you can do that. You need to talk about not necessarily how you can entertain in your videos and everything and make really cool commercials, but just what's appropriate with video marketing and what is going to be the best use of your time depending on your market with video marketing. Then we have our four methods that I wasn't revealing to everybody because I didn't want anybody to prejudge based on what they were. One of these is typical. And I'll say that one first so we can get that one out of the way, and then I want to talk about the three other ones that are really exciting to me. And that typical one is article marketing. This is an often unsung hero of many people's marketing campaigns. Article marketing combines somewhat with search engine optimization, and it allows you to really be able to get long-term results. So that's one of them. The other three, one of them I don't really have a name for. I should probably come up, coin some phrase or something to come up with this. But I call it using your products. So if you have an ebook or you have something that you have that you created, I'm not talking about private label rights to somebody else's product or resale rights. I'm talking about your own product that you have created, whether it's teleseminars, articles, ebooks, videos, whatever it might be. And some of the examples that I'll give you right now to get you the idea of what I'm talking about, one would be a giveaway. If you join in, there's some of these sites that will just give away products, and it allows you to collect leads from that site. You can do that. There's bonuses. If you take your product, your ebook, let's say it's on about losing weight or on about something, nutrition. Let's say it's on a nutrition, and you go and you approach a marketer who has a product about losing weight, and you say, here's a product I'd like to give you and allow you to offer as a bonus to your customers for free. And, you know, in return, when they go, they have to register for the product, of course. So they click on a link to get it for free, and then they register at the squeeze page, and I build my list. But you get to offer something of value, non-competitive, to your list, something that complements it really nice. So that's a really effective way. All you have to do is find a handful of people willing to do that. They get a half-decent amount of traffic, and that can really build your list. Resale rights is also another one. Create a product, offer resale rights. Make sure your link is everywhere in the product, and when people resell it, that'll naturally bring you traffic. Rebrandable products as well. If your product has affiliate links inside of it, give it to people and allow them to rebrand those affiliate links to their own. But of course, you still have links to some of your own websites, and so they're going to spread that around as much as possible, and that's going to bring you even more traffic. It ties a bit over into the viral marketing aspect, but focusing more on using your own products. So if you're confused or you're not quite sure what I'm talking about here, that's okay, because in that call, I'm going to go over in great detail how you can do this and really clarify that. Two more methods. One is viral marketing. We talked a bit about viral marketing just a moment ago with the resale rights and the rebrandable things, but I'm talking about true viral marketing. A marketing that gets people talking about you, that gets people linking to you, that gets people wanting and just needing to spread around your message to everybody else. I don't want to tell you in this call right now the techniques that I'm going to cover, because that is probably the call, alongside the JV Partner call, that I am most excited about, because there are some unique ideas. And the reason I don't want to say it in this call is because I need you to focus on everything else, and also I want to keep you in a bit of anticipation. It's a lot of fun having a bit of anticipation and having the surprises. But there's really neat things. That's all I'm going to tell you that we are going to cover in that call. The last one is community marketing. And this is something that's an interesting cyclical thing. In my very first business, which is also nothing to do with internet marketing, I use community marketing to build my first list. And what community marketing is using forums and blogs and articles to get your message out and get people to your website. And I built a list of a few thousand people, actually 4,000 people, mostly using community marketing, and then went on to make over $150,000 with that list and with my first business. And now at the current business of the BBO Institute, I haven't been doing that as much because, just frankly, I don't have the time. And now with this new business that I've been doing, I've also been doing community marketing, which has brought hundreds and thousands, not hundreds of thousands, just hundreds and thousands within the past 2 or 3 weeks of visitors to my websites and has made us some money that way. So we're going to talk about community marketing and where it's appropriate and how to use it appropriately. So those are the 9 methods that we will be covering in the BBO Traffic series. So hopefully that gets you a little excited for everything that you're going to be learning. Because like I said, this is going to be worth every penny and then some of whatever it is that you paid for this. Because we're going to be covering tens of thousands of dollars worth of techniques here that can technically, if you really apply them, will make you hundreds of thousands and eventually millions of dollars with your internet business if you really apply yourself and you do this. Now, I do have a few notes that I want to cover before we jump into talking about testing and tracking, because I think these notes are really important for the proper mindset before you start learning about everything. The first thing I want to talk about is not all traffic methods work in all niches or all niche markets. Let me clarify that by saying that certain traffic methods will work better in certain niche markets. What this means is you need to be flexible. I don't want you to learn from me and then be so rigid on what I teach you that you can't think outside of the box. Because I'll tell you right now, when it comes to marketing, whether offline, online, or whatever marketing you're doing, the people who succeed the most with marketing are the ones who are the most creative with it. And if you're worried about the fact that you're not a creative person, you don't need to be. You just need to be open to new ideas, things that pop into your mind at certain points. You don't have to sit down and say, okay, I've got to be creative. How can I do this better? you just have to be open to the idea that if something presents itself, that you don't say to yourself, no, that's not how Matthew taught me to do it, therefore I am not going to do that. Unless, of course, it's something that I told you to stay away from, that is really bad for your business. But if something new jumps in your way, and it's an opportunity that you never really thought of before, but realize that it could work, make sure you're flexible, and make sure you're creative. Now, I want to talk about a couple types of niches in particular, some popular niches, actually a few of them, and just to put a little bit more thought into these. The first and foremost is probably the most popular niche, and that is the internet marketing niche. A lot of people choose this, and that's a good thing and a bad thing. Because what happens, internet marketing, just to clarify what the internet marketing niche is, if there's such a thing, because it's kind of broad, if you teach anything that helps internet marketers do their job better, you are in the internet marketing niche, or in the internet marketing market, the general market. So if you teach affiliate marketing, if you teach traffic, if you teach tracking, if you teach how to make websites, how to make websites to make money from the websites, not just how to make your personal website. That's obviously not internet marketing. If you teach anything in that area, in that realm, then you are in the internet marketing niche. And the problem with the internet marketing niche is, first off, it has a constant bloating of new marketers. And when I say bloating, I mean that. I mean to use that word because what happens is a lot of people, when they come in and they learn about internet marketing, they think the best way to make money from internet marketing is to teach people how to do internet marketing. And they don't think that because it's something that interests them. They simply think it because that's the only option that's really presented in their minds. And that's not true. So first off, if you're in the internet marketing niche simply because you think it's the best one, it's not the best one. There is other ones that you can do a lot better in, that these techniques work a whole lot better in. And the reason for that is, since there is always new marketers, and such, there's so many people in this, any new method that is taught is usually taught first to internet marketers. The first people to jump on board with new traffic methods are people who are in the internet marketing niche. And so what happens is we get a saturation of any new method. I'll give you a few examples. Have you ever heard of the product launch formula? Well, if you haven't, a little over 2 years ago, Jeff Walker, a man by the name of Jeff Walker, came out with a program called the product launch formula. I was not in the internet marketing niche at that point. Product launch formula was a $1,000 course. I purchased it. It was a DVD and a few CD-ROMs. It wasn't even that big. Yeah. And he taught people how to take your list and to do like an event and a product launch and to make even more money with those product launches with your list. Well, I did 30 days after I bought the program, I did my own product launch based on his methods and did $92,000 within 7 days. And that was fantastic. We did really, really well. Well, you've probably heard of product launches by this point, thanks to Jeff Walker. In fact, he taught some very valuable lessons. The problem is, all the internet marketing niche now knows about it. And if they haven't bought his product, they probably learned most of the methods just from observing everybody else do it. Now, I still think it's extremely valuable to go and buy that product just to learn product launches for yourself, because they still are effective, but they're not as effective as they used to be, or they're becoming more difficult to be effective. It's not as easy for the little guy to come on in with a small list to do an effective product launch because it's saturated. Mike Filsaime's butterfly marketing is another great example. He came out with a bunch of really neat techniques. One was called the thank you page technique, where you come to the website and it says, thank you for coming here. We are going to give you this product free. Or welcome to the members area. You know, it makes it look like you've bypassed the purchasing area. And it says, please register. And you register, and then it gives you an upsell, a one-time offer. And a lot of you are probably familiar with that as well. I use those techniques still. But then everybody else used it, and the effectiveness has gone down. They are still effective, but they're not as effective because everybody's using them. The most recent example that I can think of, and you might not even be aware of this one, but I can bet you that it'll probably start getting talked about more, is what I call the first cookie example. Most affiliate programs, the way they work, is if I refer somebody to a product and they don't buy it, and somebody else refers that same person to that product and they do buy it, the second person, the last person who referred them, gets the credit. That's called the last cookie, as a cookie is a little piece of information put on that person's computer to tell the promoter who referred them. Now there's this new method. Rich Schefferin was kind of the first one to really talk about it. I know that other people have been doing this before him, but it always takes a catalyst to really get it out there. Where he did a first cookie with his launch. And basically what that means is if I promote the product and get somebody to go to the website and they don't buy it, and later on somebody else sends them there and they buy it, I get the commission. And it's perfectly fair as long as the affiliates know beforehand. That's the way it works. And the great thing about the first cookie is it gets people to email early. It gets your affiliates to jump on the gun before it's too late because they don't want to wait until everybody else is emailed and everybody else gets all the first cookies. And so that right now, at this moment, is an effective method to generate traffic. So if you're running an affiliate program and you have control over whether it's first or last cookie, right there is a method I just taught you right that you can use right now. And if you're in the internet marketing niche, do it now. Because I can guarantee you within 6 months to a year, it'll be saturated and it'll no longer be as effective as it was. It'll still be effective, but it won't be as effective because everybody will be doing it. And so it'll become very common. Whereas in other niches, which don't get hammered so hard with this stuff, these things remain effective for a much longer time. Also in the internet marketing niche, so that's just how, just talking about the saturating of those methods. Now, in the internet marketing niche, you also need to be a lot more creative, just like I said. And you need to deliver even more valuable content and do more for free. So that you, because you need to stand out from the crowd because it's a very competitive industry. This goes along with making money niches, whether, you know, making money with real estate, making money with whatever. Those ones tend to be more competitive as well. Not always as competitive as the internet marketing niche, and sometimes even more competitive in the case of making money with real estate. The ones where you're going to find that these traffic methods work even better are in other niches outside of making money. And we're talking here about hobby niches or health and wellness niches. One of my partners, Scott Tuzinot, he runs a website that's all about fitness. And he noticed whenever he would press hard some of these internet marketing techniques, like product launches with scarcity and, you know, there's only 100 left and all this kind of stuff, he noticed that his list didn't like that and that he wasn't having a lot of effectiveness with that. But he noticed once he started just delivering valuable content and working with them, that he was much more successful. Now, that's not so much traffic generation. That's more list relationship building. But you have to understand that it's different in every niche, and you need to be flexible, and you need to be creative with these techniques. And I'd go as far as to say some of these methods won't work at all in certain niches. eBay is a great example of that. It'll work in most niches, but there's going to be some niche markets where don't even bother with eBay. There's nobody in your market who is on eBay that's going to be really interested in coming over to your website. It's just not going to work. I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, but there are examples of it. And I'm going to teach you how to tell if your market is something that could work with the eBay traffic. All the traffic methods, I will address the question of how do I tell if my market should use this traffic technique. But for the most part, you're going to be able to use all of them. Pretty much all of the methods will work in most niches. But like I said, some will be more effective than the others. Now, the last thing I want to talk about, just for about 5 minutes, and then we'll get into our testing and tracking session. The last thing I want to talk about is something that I have learned over the past year and just recently really came to realize how important this was. And I want to pass this on to you before you make the same mistake that I have been making over the last year. And you're going to notice some significant changes in with the way that I run my business, that I run the BBO Institute business. The thing I want to say is that you need to really do your best to focus on one project at a time. And when I say at a time, I mean for a few months. I'm not talking about one project this week and then another project next week and then another project the week after. That's not going to allow you to become successful. I'm going to give you two examples, both of my own personal experience, kind of revealing some mistakes that I have made here, and some, you may have even noticed these mistakes that I've been making, or maybe you haven't. One of them is the BBO Institute example. I came up with the concept of the BBO Institute about a year ago, and it's a great concept of a place where you can come and you can learn all sorts of different things about internet marketing for beginners. But the problem is I launched far too many products. I released far too many products over the past year. And the problem with that, first off, I put a lot of valuable content to all those products. So I don't think that they're not valuable products. But what I couldn't do is is I couldn't spend enough time on traffic generation. That means the sales pages were only mediocre, the traffic was only mediocre, and sometimes not even good, and the sales were not nearly as high as they could have been. Now, don't get me wrong, we've doubled our revenue since last year. We've done twice as much in our revenue this year as we did last year. So what do I have to complain about? Well, we've also taken on a lot more employees. We've taken on a lot more overhead expenses, and I have been enjoying it less because I have spread myself a little too thin. So you're going to be noticing a little change over the next couple of months. We're going to be consolidating a lot of our programs into one overall membership site that will be nice, low cost for anybody to be able to access, and actually it will even be free at some levels. And that is, we're going to be reversing a lot of what I've been doing over the past year, although using a lot of the training content that we have developed, because we have developed a lot of training for a lot of useful things for beginners. Now, on the contrary, we have another example, and this is the affiliate marketing formula. AffiliateMarketingFormula.com was my first website when I started in the internet marketing niche. And that website was created almost 2 years ago, I believe it was. I think it was February of 2005 or 2000. No, it'll be February 2006 is when I started Affiliate Marketing Formula. It was my only website for quite a few months. I think I had other websites, but I never really pushed them that much. I focused most of my efforts on traffic generation for about 8 to 9 months simply with the affiliate marketing formula. I did all sorts of things. I did JV partners. I did article marketing. I did search engine optimization. I did all sorts of things to just continue. I even went to seminars and recruited partners that way and simply focused on affiliate marketing formula. And by the end of that year, we had done close to $300,000 in revenue from mostly that site. I also had yoursqueezepage.com up and running by that point. So I basically had two sites in 2006 and did about $300,000 in revenue. That's combining affiliate commissions with the revenue of those sites. Now, here's the real clincher. Here's the thing that really makes me realize how effective I was last year as opposed to this year. Even this year, sure, I got more revenue, but you know, I have a bigger list than I had last year. So obviously, I should get more revenue this year, but I probably could have done way more. Probably could have at least doubled what I did this year if I had done the same thing I did the year before. And the reason I know that is because today, actually, I just checked my logs yesterday, Affiliate Marketing Formula is still getting consistently 20 to 30 new subscribers per day. I haven't touched it for over a year. I worked on it for 8 to 9 months to almost the end of the year of 2006. Then I launched the whole BBO Institute initiative and kind of left Affiliate Marketing Formula. Still, the information there is still really pertinent, still really important. It does get updated from time to time, but I haven't done any traffic methods to the affiliate marketing formula since then, and it still gets 20 to 30 subscribers per day. In fact, I just checked yesterday, and I had 26 subscribers yesterday. And on average, it gets one or two sales per day. So it generates between, and that's $67 per sale, so it generates between $134 and $67. So on average, about $100 a day. And I don't do anything with it. So if you times that by 30 days a month, it brings in, without me touching it, without me working on it, $3,000 a month. Now at its peak, it did $18,000, $20,000. So obviously it's gone down. But all I'm saying is I had done so much work on that and focused so much of my efforts that a year later, after I stopped working on it, it still pulls in about $100 a day. Now that's incredible. And if hopefully you can see how incredible that is. Hopefully you're not thinking, well, it's only $3,000 a month. Compare that to your hundreds of thousands of dollars a year that you do. This is something I haven't even touched for months, over a year. And because I had focused my methods or all my efforts on this one site, or 90% of my efforts, I would say, on this one site, and on building a relationship with my list, and just focusing on working with JV partners, with SEO, with article marketing, and certain other things as well, that I was able to do this, and it still generates income to this day. So just keep that in mind. You need to try to focus on one project at a time for a few months at a time. Don't go out and make the same mistake I have over the past year and create too many products. Sure, I made money, but like I said, I probably could have done far more if I just focused on one or two products. And, you know, of course, within that product, there can be different levels. I'm not just saying that you're just going to create one ebook and that's all you're going to focus on. Now, you can have an ebook, and then you can have an upsell to videos, and they can have a bigger upsell to a home study course, but that's still one project overall. And you need to focus on one of those at a time to make sure that all of your traffic techniques and strategies gain that synergy that comes from working on the same thing for quite a period of time. So hopefully you'll be able to discipline yourself and be able to just be able to focus all your efforts and really be able to get that synergy, be able to get that traffic, be able to get the success from everything that you've been doing. I just got a comment from Ken from Georgia. It says, glad to hear about plan to consolidate and cut back on launches. It says, really like you and your products, that feel overwhelmed at times with all your stuff. I know that my subscribers are noticing this. I know that because I've been getting comments about it, and also because I've been noticing trends in how many people click on emails and how many people open emails. So it's a significant lesson that I've learned that I am passing on to you right now. It's taken me 3 years to really understand it, but it's something that you can understand instantly right at this moment and avoid making that same mistake. So hopefully you can learn from that experience and don't have to learn it on your own by going through it yourself. Okay, so we've talked about the 9 traffic methods. We're about half an hour into our call here. So that's pretty good timing because I want to jump into the main topic of this call, which is testing and tracking. And hopefully this will only take me about half an hour, but I have a funny feeling with everything I want to cover that it's going to take probably the full hour. If it only takes half an hour, basically this call is going to be finished at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. I have to be over by that point because we have other teleseminars shortly after, including the virtual seminar, the 30-day formula virtual seminar, so I need to be able to be at those times. But if we have time, I will still cover some of your questions. Otherwise, we'll cover them in a future Q&A call and next week's Q&A call that we have scheduled. Okay, so let's talk about this. Testing and tracking is the foundation for any traffic generation that you have or that you work on. Without testing and tracking, well, why don't we start with that question? Why should you bother to test and track? First off, let's go even more fundamental. What is testing and tracking? What does that mean? Do you fully understand what I mean when I say testing and tracking everything that you're doing? Well, let's talk about tracking. Tracking is simply watching to see what happens. It's great to set up a Google AdWords campaign, but if you're not going back and checking to see how it's doing, then you're not tracking your efforts. If you're not going and seeing how many sales it's producing, you're not tracking your efforts. Testing is the other side. When you're tracking your efforts, you want to test different things. Does this headline work better than this headline? Does this squeeze page work better than this squeeze page? Does this sales page work better than this sales page? Does this price work better than this price? Does this Google AdWords ad work better than this Google AdWords ad? Does this traffic source work better than this traffic source? You want to test all sorts of different things so that you understand what is going on. So why do you want to track? Why do you want to test and track? Number one is so you only use the valuable traffic sources. I'm talking about 9 traffic sources in this course. There is obviously more. And within these traffic methods, I won't even be covering every possible way to use these because I can't possibly do that. I don't know everything, so there's got to be other traffic methods out there that I am not aware of, or that maybe I do automatically and I don't even think about, or maybe that will come out in the future. So you're going to want to track. You want to try out these traffic methods. If you have confidence that they might work, then why not? Why not test them out and track it? And that way you can find out which traffic sources are valuable. If you're just simply sending 5 different methods of traffic to your website, and you see sales come in, but you don't know where they're coming from, how are you supposed to know which traffic sources are making you money and which ones are losing you money? If you spend $50 on traffic method number 1, $50 on traffic method number 2, $50 on traffic method number 3, and $50 on traffic method number 4, so that's $200 in total, and you send that all to your website, and you make $100 of sales, you're going to say, oh, I spent $200, I made $100. This isn't working. Or worse yet, you'll make a bit of money. You'll make $250 and say, hey, this is working, and keep doing that. Little did you know, if you actually tracked the traffic sources, that maybe only traffic method number 2 is making you any sales, and that traffic method number 1, 3, and 4 are making you no sales. So if you just cut out those ones that aren't making you sales, all of a sudden you're spending $50 and still making that $250. And all of a sudden it's extremely profitable. In fact, if you test it even further, you might be able to optimize that so you can do better than $250 when you spend that $50. So hopefully that example clarifies why you must understand which of your traffic sources is actually making you money. It also is important so you can optimize conversion rates. Conversion rates come in all forms, such as how many people signed up to my squeeze page as opposed to how many showed up to my squeeze page, how many people bought my product as opposed to how many people didn't buy my product. These are conversion rates, what percentage of people took the appropriate action that you want them to take. And sometimes traffic sources will not be valuable until you optimize your conversion rates. You spend $50 on a method, and it makes you $40. And you think, oh, that's not a good traffic source. Or maybe it was just a poor headline. Or maybe your process. Maybe they're all dropping out when they go to PayPal because your PayPal thing says something funky, and they don't like that. And so they're all just leaving. They were convinced to buy until they got to your payment part, and then they don't like your payment structure. How do you know? Maybe fixing one thing will all of a sudden double your sales, allowing you to be profitable with that traffic method. Also, you want to maximize your profits, and obviously you can see how that's going to work. If you can increase your sales and decrease your traffic costs, you're maximizing your profits. And you'll end up wasting less of your money, and probably more importantly, less of your time. Because money, as much as you might think you have a limited resource of it, it can continue to come in. You'll make a few dollars and you can reinvest that into your business. Time, you only have so much of, no matter what. You can be the richest man in the world, a man or woman in the world, and you'll still have the same amount of time as everybody else. So you want to waste the least amount of time as possible on these methods. So that's why you want to track. Now the next question comes in, what should you track? What is important for you to track? And, you know, I could simply say, well, everything, but that doesn't really answer that question for you. You might think, well, yeah, but what specifically? Because you might not think of all these things that you actually should track. So I'm going to give you a list right now. So if you have a pen and a piece of paper, write down this list. Because this is a pretty long list, and it's not even extensive. There's more things that you can track, but if you just track everything that I have on this list, you will be heads and shoulders above most of your competition, because most people will not track barely any of these, actually. They'll track one or two of them. But if you track all of them and you test with them, then you will become a very, very powerful marketer. So here's a bit of a list for you, in no particular order. I'll tell you which ones are important when we get to them. All of them are important, but I'll tell you which ones are extremely important when we get to them. First thing that you want to track is traffic sources. If you have AdWords campaign running and you also have a JV partner sending out an email for you, you need to be able to differentiate what visitors came from where. That's extremely important so that you can see. Because if you have a Google AdWords campaign going and at the same time your JV partner emails out and the JV partner does really well, but you don't know who made the sales, you might think your AdWords campaign is doing well as well. And it might be losing you money. It might not be making any sales. That's actually very common with Google AdWords if it's not done properly. The next thing you want to test and track is variations of your landing pages. This is what we call split testing. And you might be familiar with this if you have my program, yoursqueezepage.com, because it does this automatically with your squeeze pages. A variation could be as simple as, I want to try a red headline and a black headline to see which one gets more people to read and to opt in. Yeah, that's something that you want to track and that you want to test. So variations of your landing pages. Landing pages can be your squeeze page, could be your sales page, could be an article, could be whatever people land on when they first arrive on your website. You want to test variations of those, especially if you have control over where they land, which is in the case of Google AdWords, affiliate partners, eBay, any paid methods, you usually have control over where they land. Search engine optimization, not so much, because they could end up finding a different page on your website that you didn't think people would first land on. And that's perfectly fine. Opt-in rates is something else that you want to track. When somebody comes to your squeeze page, what is the percentage of people that actually opt in, that enter their name and email address into the form and get added to your list? That's extremely important to know because you don't want to lose sales because you're not getting a maximum opt-in rate. Sales rate obviously comes next, logically. How many people that see your sales page actually purchase the product? And, of course, there's an overall sales rate and there's the sales page sales rate. An overall sales rate, think of this example. If your website is very simple, it has a squeeze page and then a sales page and then the payment processing and then, you know, thank you, here's your product. That's your whole website. Well, if 1,000, or let's say 100 people come to your squeeze page, and 25 of those people opt in, so they enter their name and email address, and those 25 people then see your sales page, and out of those 25 people, one person purchases, and you make X number of dollars. Well, what is your sales rate? Well, you have two sales rates. You have your sales page sales rate. Out of the 25 people, one person purchased, that's a 4% sales rate of the sales letter. And you can try to improve that by split testing headlines and testing different things on the sales page. But there's also the overall sales rate. Out of the 100 people that landed on your website, one person ended up purchasing. That's only 1%. And you can improve that several ways. One is obvious, removing the squeeze page. Sometimes that helps. Actually, sometimes that might not help. That's another thing you want to test, because since people just land on the sales page and they haven't been offered something for free first, they might actually be less prone to purchase whatever it is you have. So that's a whole other subject. But you want to be able to track these different things, especially the overall sales rate. Because it's great if your sales page is doing a 50% conversion rate, but if your squeeze page is only doing 1%, then you're losing so many sales. And if an affiliate sends traffic to your website, they don't want to lose those sales. They want to get as many as they can. So you need to make sure you track your overall sales rate as well of your entire website. Another one that often is not tracked, because it's not easy to track, depending on how you do it, is the checkout dropout rate. What that means is once somebody clicks to buy, if they're convinced they want to purchase, or maybe they're mostly convinced they want to purchase, and they click the payment link, and they get sent to ClickBank or to PayPal or wherever it is, that your merchant account, that they're going to make the purchase, how many people back out at that point? You'll be surprised to find out that it's a large percentage. The majority of them will back out. And so you want to track that. You want to say, okay, my sales page is getting people to click and go to the payment processing, but then when they get there, 75% of them just leave. What's going on? And you can check out your checkout rate. Sorry, you can look at your checkout process and see if there's some sort of thing in there that's really turning people off. And maybe there's something that's not working properly. Or it just doesn't look like the rest of your website. So people are wondering, a lot of people in certain markets are very not sure about whether you're for real or not. And so as soon as they get one fishy smell, and they're thinking, oh, hey, this isn't the same website. Are they trying to steal my credit card number? They might just be out of there. Whereas in the internet marketing niche, that's not such a big deal. Everybody's used to PayPal, and everybody's used to one shopping cart. And so when they go to buy something and they're redirected to PayPal, and it doesn't look like the website that they're just on, they don't think, oh, no, what the heck is this? They think, oh, this is PayPal, like everybody else uses. They're familiar with that. So in certain markets, this will be very important for you to track to make sure that you're getting the highest checkout rate that you possibly can. Something else that you want to track is retention. How many people cancel? This is something you'll have to manually track for the most part. How many people cancel after buying? How many people ask for a refund? Because that affects how much you make. It's great to make $10,000 in sales, but if it turns around and $5,000 of those are refunded, and you've already paid $5,000 out to affiliates, well, you're left with nothing. So you need to be able to track those retention rates and then do things to fix it if they're too high. You know, you're looking at it and you're like thinking, there's too many people canceling and getting refunds. What's going on? Are they not satisfied? Is the customer support not good enough? What is it that's making people cancel or get refunds? Now, those are all very important things to track. The next things I'm about to say to you are the absolute essentials that you must know in order to have a successful marketing business. And this goes for online and offline. So this has nothing to do with the internet. This has everything to do with direct marketing, selling things to people. So there's two main things that you have to look at. First one I'm going to talk about is customer cost, or what we call cost per acquisition. How much does it cost you to get a customer? Let's look at an easy example. You're doing Google AdWords. You're paying $1 per click. Let's just throw that out there. I'm not saying that's a good or a bad rate. $1 per click. You send 100 visitors to your website. So you just paid $100. So you paid $1 per click. Those 100 visitors get to your website. One person purchases. How much did it cost to get that customer? Who cares how much they spent? How much did it cost to get that customer? $100. You spent $100 in traffic to get that one sale. What if you got two sales out of those same 100 customers? What was your cost per acquisition? Well, it would be $100 divided by 2. So those of you that hate math, don't worry. This will stay simple. It's just a simple division. The way that you calculate cost per acquisition is the cost or the money that you spent divided by the number of sales that you made. Who cares about how many visitors, at least for customer cost, doesn't matter. If I spent $1,000 and made 5 sales, the cost per acquisition was $200 per acquisition. Yes, because I got 5 of them for $1,000. If I spent $100 and got 5, the cost per acquisition is $20. So it's very simple mathematics, but it's probably the most essential thing for you to understand. How much does it cost for you to get a customer? The cost per acquisition will vary from traffic source to traffic source, from affiliate to affiliate, from ad to ad. So you don't ever think of an overall cost per acquisition. You think to yourself, my site converts at 4%. If somebody says that to me, it tells me one thing right away, that they don't actually know much about testing and tracking. If you come to me and say, affiliate marketing formula, what's the conversion rate? I'll say to you, well, I don't know. Which traffic source do you mean? And they'll say, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, do you mean AdWords? What's the conversion with AdWords? Or with my affiliates? Well, with your affiliates. What is the conversion rate with your affiliates? And I'll say, that depends. Which affiliate? Because some affiliates are a lot better at convincing their customers before they even come to my sales page that this is what they want. So my sales process is kind of not even important because they do all the selling for me. Other people do a really poor job of that. And so they get lower results. So the cost per acquisition and your conversion rates and your sales rates and your opt-in rates is going to vary from source to source, which is why it's very important for you to track individual traffic sources, even within those traffic sources. So it's not enough just to track AdWords. You want to track each campaign. And if you really want to get deep into it, you want to track each individual keyword to see how they are doing. The more you can track, the more you can change. And the more you can change, the more money you can make. So that's cost per acquisition. Now, what goes along with cost per acquisition is what we call the customer value. And there's two main customer values that you want to look at. The first one is the one-off customer value. How much do you make within the first 24 hours of that customer becoming a customer, of that visitor becoming a customer? Now, somebody comes to your website, and if they buy something, what is the average amount of money that they spend within 24 hours? So on upsells, on other products that they might get presented right inside the members area, whatever it might be. Let's make a simple example. Let's say you're selling an ebook for $50. And when they buy that ebook for $50, there's an upsell for $50 as well for a video. So they come to your site, and when somebody buys that ebook, right away, that customer is worth $50. So actually, let's keep it even simpler. Let's knock out the upsell. Let's just say that you're selling the ebook for $50. Let's keep this really straightforward. That means that your one-off customer value is $50. Now, if you had a choice between two ebooks, one of them was $50 and one of them was $100, and half of them chose the $50 one and half of them chose the $100 one, then that means that your customer value is $75. For every sale that you make on average $75. If you can answer that question, for every sale I make on average X number of dollars. That is what we call a one-off customer value, or what I call a one-off customer value. The other kind of customer value is a lifetime customer value. When somebody becomes a customer, what is the average amount of money they spend in their quote-unquote lifetime? Usually within a year or two is a lifetime, unless you really have a long-term business that is residual, like web hosting or something. They really calculate over 10 or 20 years. But for most internet marketers, it'll just be 1 or 2 years. Well, you'll be doing a good job if you can tell me that number. So what is the lifetime customer value? So what the difference is think about the power of this. If you say to me, well, my cost per acquisition with this specific traffic source is $50. So it costs me $50 to get one customer. My one-off customer value is $50 as well. And I say, well, that's not bad. You're breaking even. So you're getting customers, you're building your list, and it's not costing you any money. And then you say, and then I say, what's your lifetime customer value? And you say, well, within the first year, the average customer will spend $500. All of a sudden, it's okay to break even, because you realize that within the life of that customer, within a year, they're going to be spending a few hundred dollars. So you're looking in the long term. In fact, you could even lose money when you gain those customers. Your cost per acquisition could go up to $100. And sure, you only make $50 on the first sale, but you know, because you have all your stuff tracked, that on average, over the entire year, they're going to spend $500. So you're okay. So you can turn around to affiliates and say, you know, when you promote this product, I'll give you 150% commissions. If they buy this $50 product, I'll pay you $75. And the affiliates will be thinking in their minds, this guy is insane. How can he afford to do that? He's obviously losing money on every single sale. But you know that they're going to continue buying more stuff from you, and especially if you have those numbers. Lifetime customer value is not easy for you to keep track of. I don't expect you to be able to just say it at the drop of a hat if I meet you and say, what's your lifetime customer value with AdWords? And you, with all rights, you should be going, I don't know, I'd have to check. And you'd have to do some, you have to look into it. You'd have to look at all the customers that you got from AdWords and look at how much they spent over the past year and then divide that out and find your lifetime customer value. But it is something that's really important if you really want to build a multi-six-figure, multi-seven- or eight-figure business. You need to know over time what your lifetime customer value is. Okay, I got a couple more things I'm going to talk about with the track, but I want to make sure that we're doing all right here. So just going to take a pause for a few seconds. I just want you to catch up on your notes, write down whatever it is you need to write down. If you have any questions, go ahead and put them in the Q&A form right now if you're listening to this call live. So just go ahead and do that. I'm just going to wait about 10, 15 seconds, and then we'll continue, because I know we're covering a lot of information here. I want to give you time to digest this and to be able to really write it down. And I will continue with the other things that you need to track. So the thing that we just covered that was the most important was cost per acquisition and the customer value. And if you know those two things, then you're doing well in your business, because that tells me that you're taking things seriously. So if there's any questions, go ahead and put them in the Q&A form right now if you're listening to this call live, and I will look at them, and if I'm not going to be answering them in this call, I'll quickly answer them right now just to make sure that we're on the same page. Okay. I don't see any questions coming at this point. That's good. Hopefully that means that everybody understands, and it doesn't mean that everybody's just kind of their mind's going blank because of everything I've just been talking about. There's a lot that you have to digest here. Don't worry, this call is recorded, which means you can listen to it over and over and over again and take notes again and again. So let's keep going. There's a few more things you want to track. Two more things, actually, I'm going to talk about. This has to do with your emails that you send out. This does have to do somewhat with traffic generation, but it's more to do with retention and to do with building relationship with your list. But I think it's important to throw in here because while we're talking about testing and tracking. One thing that you want to test with your or track with your emails is open rates. How many people on average open your emails? And the average is different depending on your industry. I believe in the internet marketing industry, it's around 20 or 25%. So I'm not sure what it is for every other industry because, well, I'm not in every industry. So don't get too caught up with what the industry average is. Look at what yours is and try to improve it. The other thing that you want to track with emails is click-through rates. How many people actually click on the links that you have in your emails when you actually have clicks, obviously. If there's nothing to click on, then obviously you're going to have a null click-through rate. So what is the goal with all of this? What's the goal with tracking? Well, your goal is simply to maximize customer value and minimize customer cost. And remember, this is kind of where it can get a little tricky. Cost isn't always money. It can be time as well. If you're spending 40 hours a week working on something and you get 40 customers, those customers cost you an hour per customer, which means that you need to make sure that you're making enough money from each of them. If you're only making $5 per customer, sure, it didn't cost you any money. You did everything by yourself. But is it really worth your time for $5 an hour? So keep that in mind as well. Cost isn't always money. Now, money is the easiest one to track because it's kind of the common denominator of everything. But just keep in mind that the time that you put into things is also a factor. You don't want to spend too much time on something that gives you very little results. a good example of that is traffic exchanges, going in and just surfing websites so that people will surf yours. That's just a waste of your time. Sure, you can get lots of traffic. In fact, you can get thousands of visitors a day. If you want to start getting thousands of visitors a day to your websites, join a bunch of traffic exchanges, spend 8 hours a day surfing those sites. You'll get thousands of visitors. I guarantee it. Want to know how many sales you get? I can almost guarantee you'll get none. You want to know how many opt-ins you'll get? Also, probably none. Maybe the occasional one or two. But it's definitely not worth all the time that you're putting into it. So keep that in mind. Money is not the only cost. Okay. I do have a couple questions here. Tamara from San Diego is saying, how do you determine customer value when you have not paid for traffic? Now, the question that you're saying there is showing me that you're mixing up customer value with customer cost. Customer value is determined by how much money you make without factoring in expenses. If you have a $50 product and that's all you sell, then a customer is obviously worth $50. That's how much they spend. But if it's free traffic, if you have not paid for the traffic, how do you determine customer cost? What did it cost to get that customer? Well, obviously it didn't cost you anything if it's free, but you still have to consider, just like what I said, the cost is not only money. And I think I probably answered your question after you submitted it there. So hopefully that answers that right there. The cost is not always money. So sometimes it's a little harder. Sometimes you have to look at it a little differently. I had a JV, I have this JV partner who emailed out to his 10,000 person list and it made this many sales. So the cost for those sales was an email to this guy's list, which I can't get very often. So did I get what was worth an email to that guy's list? Did I make it worth his while? These are things you have to think about as well. Oh, and right there, she's saying, P.S., I'm getting subscribers from only JVs. So what you need to look at, Tamara, you need to look at more what the profit is per customer. And that's what you need to look at. Because your cost, if you're using JVs, actually, I don't even know why I didn't think about this, you do have a cost. Think about it this way. If a JV promotes your product and makes a sale, don't you have to pay commissions? So there's your cost. If you have a $50 product and you offer 50% commissions, then when that JV makes that sale, your cost is $25 and the customer value is $50. So you might be thinking, the customer value is $25. But the customer value is always the money that you've made before expenses. And so the actual customer value after expenses is $25. And so you might be thinking, well, I'm guaranteed to always make money, so this must be a good traffic source. Yes, that's why affiliate marketing and JV partners are great traffic sources, because they're free unless they actually make you money, in which case they always make you more money than you pay them. For the most part, unless you're doing 100% commission or something crazy like that. But you still have to consider the fact that you want to maximize how many sales that JV makes so that they're more prone to do it again. So you have to keep that in mind as well. You have to look at overall value per visitor is what you want to look at. When a JV sends me 1,000 visitors, how much money does that JV make? Does he make $1,000? If he does, that means he's made $1 per click or $1 per visitor, and that's pretty good. And so they'll be prone to tell their friends about it, tell their other JV partners about that, and say, hey, this guy's got really good conversion rates, and you'll be able to get even more sales. So, yes, that is pertinent right there. Okay, she just said, thanks, Matt. You answered that after I had asked. Okay, glad I could. But it's also good to clarify some of the JV partner things, because some people do get mixed up with that. Well, what is my cost if it's free? Well, there's always a cost. Always, always a cost. So keep that in mind. Okay, so that is the main idea behind tracking. Let's talk about some ways that you can track. And we'll talk about some technical stuff here. Mainly two pieces of software that I recommend you use. And both of them are recommended. It really depends on what you want to do and the technical level that you are at as well. And if you're not at one, then that's fine because we have solutions for that. There's two main things. One is free and one is not free, as is typically the choice between two things. The free one is one made by Google Analytics. This is a piece of software, it's made by Google, called Google Analytics. This is a piece of software that is free to use. In fact, you don't even download it. It's all based on Google. All you have to do is go to google.com/analytics. Analytics is spelled A-N like Norman, A-L-Y-T like Thomas, I-C-S. www.google.com/analytics, A-N-A-L-Y-T-I-C-S. Google Analytics is extremely good. It has, well, Google does a great job of tracking things, obviously, because they have their search engine. So the advantage of it is that it is extensive. It tracks everything, as long as you install it properly on your site, which is pretty easy to do, actually. Even if you have a blog or something, it's pretty straightforward. So it's easy to install, it's very extensive, and it's free, and it allows you to track all sorts of things. It can track everything I talked about, actually, except for the email rates, because that's obviously going to be tracked with your email. But it can track your opt-in rates, your sales rates, your checkout rates, your individual traffic sources, down to the individual keywords that you get. It is wonderful to use. Huge disadvantage of Google Analytics is that it is extremely complex because of how wonderful it is. And that naturally happens. When a piece of software does a lot, it naturally is more complex and harder to use. There's a bit of a learning curve, but once you get it in place, and there's a lot of free information out there on how to do this, once you really install it and get it to work and get everything set up properly, it'll be an invaluable resource to you to testing and tracking. So I strongly recommend that you use Google Analytics. Now, the other option that you have, which also works really well but is much simpler, and because it's much simpler, it's easier, is a piece of software called AdTrax. And this has been around for quite a while, and it's still very effective. And that's spelled AdTrax with a Z at the end. So A-D like Donald, T like Thomas, R-A-C-K-Z.com, or Z for all you American folk out there. So AdTrax with a Z or Z.com. So the advantage is, of course, is that it's simpler and that it's easier to use because it's very straightforward to setting things up in there, setting up campaigns to track different sources, and you're still able to track opt-in rates and sales rates. Now, the big disadvantage is it's a little too simple. You're not able to check or track lifetime value. You're not able to track checkout rates. You're not able to track multiple opt-in rates. So if they opt-in here and then they opt-in somewhere else, all those things. It can't be more complex than a simple squeeze page, sales page, sale kind of thing. So that's a main disadvantage. It's also not as easy to install. It requires some basic FTP knowledge. Now, that's not such a big deal because when you buy it, you can also spend, I think, $20 and they'll install it for you. So it's worth the $20 if you don't know how to do FTP because it'll just be a nightmare for you to figure out. So that's the main disadvantage, is it's a little too simple. But if you're looking for something other than Google Analytics because you find analytics to be a little too confusing, AdTrax is the place to go. In fact, it's the only one I'll recommend. I'm sure there's others out there, and I'm sure they work just as fine. But this is the one I have experience with that other marketers that I know use, and they're making millions of dollars, and they're using AdTrax. And now a lot of them are using analytics because, well, it's just better in pretty much every way, except the fact that it's more complex, which makes it a little harder to learn how to use. I had difficulties learning how to use it, and I consider myself to be a technical person. So just a little warning there, when you go to use Google Analytics, it is going to be a bit of a learning curve, but there's a lot of free resources out there because it is a free piece of software. The last piece of tracking software that you'll use will be in your email. Now, if you're using AWeber, for example, which I strongly recommend that you use, they have built-in email tracking. If you're using One Shopping Cart or something else to do your email automation, then, of course, you can use their tracking as well. But you know, I recommend that you use AWeber just because it's pretty good for everything that you needed to do. So you want to track open rates, just like we talked about before. And remember that open rates are affected by two main things. First is the subject line. The subject line is compelling to get them to open because when somebody is looking at all their messages, all they see are subject lines. And who it's from. There's only two things they see. Who is it from, and what's the subject? And so obviously those are the two main things that are going to affect it, the subject line and your relationship. Okay? Some people, if you do a good job of sending out free information and giving really good products and promoting really good things, your emails will have a very high open rate because people love to get your emails. So that's really, really important that you do track your open rates. And with AWeber, just a little technical thing, in order to track your open rates, you need to use the HTML feature, which means you see the two boxes that you can write your message in. One of them is just plain text and one of them is HTML. You have to use both. Don't just use one. Don't just use the other. Use both. So what I do is I write my message in plain text and format it exactly the way I want it. Then I copy it all, and I paste it into the HTML part, and then I send it out. So hopefully that makes sense to people who use AWeber. And if it doesn't, just go in there and you'll see it. If you have problems, click on the live chat thing with AWeber, and they'll be able to explain that whole process to you. But it's pretty straightforward and allows you to track open rates. They can't track open rates if you don't use the HTML part of the email. And I'm not going to explain why. Just believe me, they can't. It's impossible for them to actually know. Another thing that you want to do with your open rates is split test broadcasts. And what you can do, once you have more than 100 people on your list, I believe it is, you can say, okay, I want to create a split test broadcast, which allows you to send out two different messages to random people on the list. So if you have 1,000 people on your list, you could split test it to 50-50 and say, send this message out to 50% of them and this message out to the other 50. And it's randomly selected, so it's not the same 50% every time you do a split test. And what you want to do is try two different subject lines and see which one gets the best open rate. And I do that quite often, and it gives me a better idea of how to write better open or better subject lines, what gets people's attention. It also tells me what people are interested in by tracking that. You also want to track the click-through rates of how often people click on the links inside your emails. But overall, open rates and click-through rates are useless if you're not making sales. So you need to track your overall sales rate. This is more important, and I want to give you a real example. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I'll give you a rough estimate of what the numbers were. I did a split test promotion amongst four different emails. The emails were all the same. It was a subject line that was different. And this was to an affiliate program. This wasn't to my own program. So I had four emails that all were identical emails, but the subject lines were different. And the interesting thing is, and then I saw, obviously, some of them had a higher open rate than others. I think the top one had a 25% open rate, and then it went down to like 22%, then 18%, and then 15%. And then the click-through rates, within, I think in the first message that had the 25% open rate, had about a 50% click-through rate. The second one had a 45% click-through rate. The third one had a 40% click-through rate, and the last one had a 35% click-through rate. It was roughly like this. And so the first one was by leaps and bounds ahead of the last one. In fact, if you do a quick calculation, that gives it a 12.5% effectiveness. Just ignore this for 1 second. I'm just going to calculate these numbers to give you an overall. Okay. By my calculations, the first one was 2.5 times more effective than the last one at getting visitors. So it got 2.5 times more visitors. So if the worst one got 1,000 visitors to the affiliate site, the best one got 2,500 visitors to that site. Here's the interesting thing, though. Once those 1,000 people got to the site, more of them bought. And I had a higher sales rate with the one that had the lowest open rate and click-through rate. And I was looking at that thinking, why would that happen? So with the very last one that I sent out, I made more money per customer, but I actually made so much more money per visitor, not per customer, that it actually made more money than the email that got the highest open rate. And I think it was something along the lines of the worst email made me $500, and the best email made me $300. So we're not even talking about per person. We're just talking about flat rates here. That this worst email that had 2.5 times less customers made me more money than the one with the highest open rate and the highest click-through rate. And I looked at that and I thought, well, what's the difference? Why would one that gets less customers, less people are interested in it, so they're opening it less, and less people are clicking, so, you know, you think that would be bad. And then, so I looked at it further and I realized that the subject line pre-sold them already on the product that they were going to buy. So only those that were interested in buying that product would even open the email in the first place. And then, sure, not very many people clicked, but my email message, which was the same for all four of them, but it's interesting that I got different click-through rates based on the subject line. So the subject line affected the click-through rates, not just the open rate. But the same one that had a poor click-through rate filtered out those people even more. But not just filtered out, because filtering out is, you know, obviously going to make you less sales, but it mentally prepared them for the sales page that they were about to go to. And after clicking, more of them bought. So my email had a better effect of not just filtering out people who weren't interested, but catalyzing those who were, taking the ones that are interested and making them even more interested even though there's less of them, they're more catalyzed, they're more synergized to go and purchase the product. So in the end, which one, after I did the split test broadcast, which one do you think I sent out to my entire list? Well, obviously, the one that had the worst open rates and the worst click-through rates, and I made a few thousand dollars off of that one affiliate promotion. And I thought that was incredible, an incredible lesson to learn, that even though it had a poor open rate and a poor click-through rate, it got less visitors to the website, it made more money than if I had gotten more visitors to the website with the other emails. So that goes to show you that you can't always just judge a conversion rate by a conversion rate. You tell me your squeeze page is only doing 25%, you want it to do 30. Well, make sure you don't change something on the squeeze page that kills your sales rate afterwards, even though you get a higher opt-in rate. So you need to track the overall how much money you make. That is the end result of whatever you're tracking. And of course, over time, you want to track the open rates and the click-through rates in your autoresponder sequence to make sure that's not trailing off too much. It is going to trail off over time because, you know, people move on to the next best thing, unless you're really, really good at captivating them, which most people can't. There's always going to be a little bit of a trail off, and that's completely normal. Okay, that pretty much concludes what I wanted to talk about when it comes to testing and tracking, just as a foundation for the traffic methods that we will be going into. So we do have some time here. We have about 20 minutes. So what we can do is I'll answer any questions anybody has until 1 o'clock Eastern time. And, if there's no questions, then we'll just finish here. And if there are questions, I'll keep going until that time. So if you want to ask any questions, go ahead and use the Q&A form that is on this page, the introductory page that you are on right now, if you're listening to this call live, and fill it in. If you want to put your name and city in there, that's fine. If you don't, then just leave it blank, and I will answer any questions that I can. Okay. Now, Carol from, I think that's North Carolina, says, how do you put a paid ad on eBay? I couldn't find out under their help menu. We'll be covering that in eBay call. I'm not going to answer questions right here about the traffic methods. I'm just going to answer questions right now about testing and tracking. And then in the future call, I'm going to go over a bit of a tutorial on how you can do that, because it is a little tricky to get a classified ad on there. Once you figure out how to do it, it's really easy, but it's not obvious because eBay doesn't really care if it's obvious. They're more worried about people finding products to buy. Okay. Yeah, Ken from Georgia said, Matt, great intro, seminar as always. You always make it worth spending the time listening to you. Picked up a lot of valuable information. Be back at 2 p.m. for the virtual seminar. That's right, we have a virtual seminar at 2 o'clock. Thank you, Ken. I appreciate that. Okay, I don't see any questions, so hopefully that means I explained things well enough, or maybe I just overwhelmed you and you don't actually have any questions because you can't think straight now. Hopefully that's not the case. If it is, listen to the call again a few times, because what you learned here is the absolute foundation for your traffic. There's no point getting traffic unless you're willing to test it and to track it to make sure it actually is making you money. Otherwise, you're just kind of shooting in the dark and hoping for the best to happen. Okay, I don't see any questions, so I'm going to finish the call here. The recording should be available shortly, and that way everybody can listen to it as many times as you want, download it, put it on your MP3 player, burn it to a CD, do whatever you want with it, so that you can make sure you learn as much as you can from this call. We do have a question that just jumped in at the last moment. So JT is asking, are most of these methods tracked by a tracking ID or specific pages? Tracking ID would be the answer to that. If you're not able to track it with a tracking ID, specific pages could also work. Affiliate marketing, obviously, is easy to track. You just look by the referral. If you're doing Google AdWords, if you use analytics, or actually, if you use anything, most of them will be tracked by tracking IDs. Dave from Toronto is thinking, what do you think of TrackBack Spider? I've never heard of it, so I think nothing of it. So I apologize. Okay. And Tamara from San Diego is saying, this is not a question, but I wanted to congratulate you for explaining everything so clearly. I especially appreciate your intro where you said that it's important to focus on one project at a time. Thanks, Matt. Well, thank you, Tamara. I really appreciate that. Les from Toronto is asking, what's your view on buying a good double opt-in list to email with different squeeze page designs to test traffic? That is a loaded question, because that is probably one of the worst ways to get traffic and can also be an extremely valuable way to get traffic. And I'm not going to be covering that in this course because I'll tell you right up front, I'm not an expert in it. I delved into it at one point. The problem is I did it with the internet marketing niche, which I'm pretty much sure it wouldn't ever work in. But in like the health and fitness niche, if you're selling supplements or things, it seems to work well there. But a short end of that, I wouldn't do it. In fact, I'd stay as far away from it as possible. I've seen people buy lists of hundreds of thousands, you send them an email, and get absolutely no response, like not even a click to their website. And so it's just not worth your time. All right. We don't have any more questions here. I'll wait around for 15 more seconds just to make sure, just in case anybody's typing right now. Because there is a slight delay between me talking and you hearing it if you're listening on the webcast. Okay, Simon from UK saying, hi, Matthew, great point regarding staying focused on one project. Does the same apply to a newbie learning technical aspects of internet marketing? I think your question, just to clarify the question, Simon, I think what you're asking is, does it apply also to learning things one at a time with the technical aspects, maybe like web design and all of those kind of things? Yes and no. There are certain things that you must know before you even get started. So that's a hard question to answer because working on one project at a time, a project obviously involves many different things like creating your website, creating your sales page, creating the product, doing your marketing to that product. So you need to learn those basics in order to even get started. So yes, it does apply. If you're a beginner, learn the basics, do the basics, then add on to it. Don't try to learn everything at once. In fact, if you're spending more than a week learning and you haven't done anything yet, then you're not going to get anywhere. You need to apply. In fact, if you're an absolute beginner and this is the first call I've ever listened to, there's going to be some gaps here of creating a website and everything, but you have enough right here to start. Go get a Google Analytics account. Go put it on your website, hopefully, if you have a website. If you don't have one, then you have to figure out how to make one. That's not what this course is about. This course is about getting traffic to your website. So you do need to have that fundamental knowledge already in place. I have a question. So what would be the quickest way to test different squeeze pages? The quickest way would be to simply create two versions of a squeeze page and randomly send visitors to one or the other and see which one performs the best. If you want an easy way, I have a piece of software that allows you to do that. It's called yoursqueezepage.com. And it's a $1 trial. You can try it out for, I think, 7 days right now. And you can just type in the different headlines you want to do, and it automatically does the rest for you, as long as you send it traffic. You still have to give it traffic. It can't do something with nothing, though. I'd say that's the quickest way, though. Okay, I'll just wait around for about 15 more seconds in case anybody's entering any more questions right now. About 5 more seconds. Okay, there's no more questions, so I will end here. Of course, if any more questions come in afterwards, we'll cover them in a Q&A call in the future, next week's Q&A call, actually. All right, so thank you very much for coming to this introductory call, and I'm going to close this now. The recording will be available very shortly, and everybody have a great weekend.